All right, very good. By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 15th day of March, year 2023. And let's see, we got Charles, we got Ella. So you got Ella unmuted here. Getting a late start. I got tied up doing a bunch of projects around the house, and then it started raining. All right, everybody's unmuted, so if you've got background noise or you're just listening, whatever, self-mute, if you would. But just watch some interesting videos of various veterans groups and former law enforcement people all talking about the fact that if this current regime continues to push this envelope, things are going to go hot pretty soon, especially if they decide to try to come door to door. So, sign of the times, I guess. Is that what you're hearing too, Charles or Ella?
Yeah, Dan. It's getting pretty hairy. A lot of people are coming to the cold, hard, brutal realization that people in positions of governmental authority do not love us. They do not care about us. And we've got a much bigger problem than what a lot of them have been contemplating. And I kind of take a perverse delight in
some of us have been trying to get people to wake up for decades, and it's a shame that it had to get this ugly in order to accomplish that. Ella's got her hand up. Go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, I was just reading a few articles before I came on here that several of them, and one in general, I think I passed around as something as information from me. Got a frog in my throat, too. At the end of that article, it says, when you know that things are going to be going hot extremely soon is when they start talking about aliens from outer space and UFOs, and they've been doing that a lot lately. So I think we're going to have some action very soon. Hi, you.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of what I call my spiritual friends and family, everybody seems to have that nagging, spidey sense that that's exactly where we're at. Probably sometime during this year, we could see some of this going hot. Certainly by next year, but we might even see it this year yet, because we're only in March, and it's already starting to heat up pretty good. Kumri, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
I just want to add that this is about to be the biggest I told you so in the history of our people.
That's a good point. You're right. I never really thought about that, but you're right. This could be the mother load of I told you so's. It's amazing. You know, it's kind of funny, though, even in the midst of all this turmoil, I get great joy on a cool, sunny day like today was. I go outside, I wash the car, go over and pick a few ripe tomatoes off the vine, clip a few leaves off of some muslin or mullein, pick a few leaves off of the basil plant, few leaves off the thyme and the cilantro plants, take them in and make a little homemade salad, throw some fresh avocado on there and homemade pickles, and have an absolutely delicious little bowl of what I used to call rabbit food back in the day when I was young and dumb. But it's just a bowl full of whole nutrition. All of these plants that many people even call weeds, like dandelion and wall lettuce and things like that, they had people ripping that stuff out, claiming it was weeds and it needs to be gotten rid of. And it's some of the most nutritious stuff that God put on earth. it just shows you the level of our ignorance. And as you get back to doing things his way, how much better life gets. I mean, you eat a lot less, you fill up quicker, your body gets the nutrients it needs, so you start losing the weight, so you start feeling lighter and more energetic. And so even in the midst of all of the chaos and turmoil, you can actually get back to the basics and feel pretty damn good. It reminds me of the story of Noah. You know, I'm sure it wasn't like perfect on the ark, but I'll bet it was a hell of a lot nicer than the folks outside of the ark that were out there trying to tread water for hours and hours and hours, and then finally just drowning. I'm sure they would have given their right arm to have a seat somewhere on the ark. So it's kind of like that now. I mean, things look pretty nasty, but you look at who it's nasty for. It's the people going along with these satanic forces, you know, putting foreign substances on their body and then suffering from it, still going to the doctors. I can't believe people are still going to a doctor's office. Why? Who would trust them? Why would you go to a clinic or a hospital? I mean, unless it's like your arm's getting ready to fall off from an accident or you're going to bleed to death, okay, well, that's different. You don't have much of a choice. But voluntary, what do they call that? Not cosmetic surgery. What do they call that? You should know, Ella, where it's elective surgery. Where you have a choice. It's not an emergency. It's not life-threatening. You're going in just because you got a hangnail or you got a skin tag or you got some other issue going on, but it's not life-threatening. You just want to take care of it, so it's called elective surgery. But who would elect to let these clowns touch you? I just saw where this moron in Washington signed some piece of paper that says that for our veterans, if they're not jabbed by November, they won't get any VA benefits. You want to talk about pissing off the wrong people? That's exactly the last group of people I would think you'd want to piss off. Go ahead, Ella. You got your hand up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. What I was reading today, it was something that really hit my head, and it really surprised me. Everybody has probably heard of a medical term called Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What that means is, it was generally the mother takes the child and wants to get attention for herself. So what she does is push disease onto her children to get attention through them. Well, that's what the government is doing now with us, with our language. It's called the language of weapons of mass destruction. What they're doing is they're using the public to display a disease that does not exist upon the people. And it mentally conditions the people to accept the symptoms that they have because they are told that they have the symptoms. And this is introduced into their brain by a type of hypnosis. And in order to keep people in line, I have read that the booster shots that they get have something to do with increasing the dopamine in their body. And this dopamine, as the more boosters you get with this dopamine fix, is going to cause you almost an addiction to these shots. So there is something weird going on in that way. I just touched upon this today, so I really can't give any more specifics. But I know that there is such a thing, and it sounds exactly like what's going on. Okay, I yield.
Good report. Thanks. That's one thing I have noticed. The core group of people, like back in the 90s when I worked in the power plants and email first started, computers were just starting to show up in homes. They were expensive, so not everybody had them. The internet was in its infancy. And I remember that email. So a lot of patriots were using the email at work because most of us couldn't afford computers at home. And so we took advantage of the work email to let other patriots know what's going on. Well, they have since figured out ways of blocking all that stuff. But for 10, 15 years, we were able to use that email privilege, so to speak. And then by then, personal computers became affordable, so we didn't have to do that. But I remember thinking to myself back in the beginning, it was hard to get even five or six people interested in what we were trying to wake people up of. Now I've got emails going out to sometimes as many as 2 or 250 people. And these are not just random people. These are people awake who are part of other groups who reach out to hundreds, if not thousands, of people of their own. So it quickly goes through, you know, it permeates through society. I'm starting to hear many patriot groups and truth tellers using phraseology that comes from the shows that we've been doing for the past 5 years. And Ella can attest to that, and so can Kumra, you know. Things that, you know, that we discussed and where we got to go and what Yahweh's law says and what's going on. All these other groups now, whether they heard it from us or not, I don't know. But it's interesting that so many of these groups now are saying virtually the same exact thing that we've been talking about for years. So it's just encouraging to know that, you know, the Bible says that his word will not go out and come back void. It will garner results whenever his truths go out, and it's starting to show fruit. So this is going to be an interesting year, very interesting year. Floor is open. I yield. Anything new on your side of the fence there, Charles, as far as the common law efforts and things such as that?
Yeah, Dan, thank you. I've just discovered that the reason I was having problems in our conferences with Angela and Eric there is Angela had authorized me to be a conference moderator, but the password was screwed up. So that's a big problem that Angela and I are working on now, and hopefully that'll make the conferences on Zoom that we're doing there more smooth. I won't go into meltdown because I can't mute people and things like that. Point number two is, I do believe I've got a final wrap on our coronavirus jury verdict. I just put the final touches on it here. I should review it one more time, but I think I'm ready to start posting it on web pages so that people can decide whether or not they're ready to take a stand in confronting this treasonous conspiracy that's surrounding the whole coronavirus issue, false alarm, I call it. And so I'm really happy. As you know, I've been kicking the ball down the road there quite a few times on that to bring it all together. But I do believe now we're at a point where our next conferences will be ready to start asking people to sign on to a jury verdict. And of course, Dan, I believe I've got we've discussed the issue that you will kind of facilitate the role of a chief judicial officer for our American National Common Law Court, because I'm the complaining party, the moving party, and so I can't be a judge in my own case. But I've got it lined up to where you'll be filling the role as a presiding judicial officer and basically jury foreman there, if that all sounds good. So I'm really happy about all that. It's coming together. And please correct me if I err in anything that I've said there. Are you?
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds good. Right. Sounds good. yeah, we have to take steps at some point. I mean, you know, we can't let this go on forever and ever. The other thing I've noticed here lately, too, is I'm getting calls from people that are experiencing things very similar to what I've been experiencing, which is very strange things happening with the computer software and the Internet. Just all of a sudden, a lot of difficulty getting onto certain channels, things that used to run very smoothly. All of a sudden, there's crashes, there's delays. And again, this could be coincidental, but it just seems kind of strange that the enemy is getting ready to ramp up their game, and now all of the, or not all, but there's significant weird things happening in the area of the Internet and communications via the things we've grown used to. And you know, I have to admit that I'm like many people, I've gotten very used to being able to use these tools to communicate and reach out to people. And if they screw around with those, we're going to have to scramble for alternate communication methods. I yield.
Right on, if I might. Recently made a contact. Well, I've contacted him earlier, but we had our first private phone conversation. A fellow named Dean McGann, I think. He's in Tennessee. He's one of Angela's contacts there in the work they're trying to do in Tennessee. And he's got some significant computer skills. And when I mentioned to him that I'm a Linux user, he said right on and came to an agreement real quickly about that. And we're of the same mind in thinking that we really need to get the vast majority of our Patriot community away from using their computers with the Bill Gates Microsoft computer operating system, because if you look at the source of that program, it's got all kinds of backdoors in it. It's designed to obstruct efficient, godly, righteous communications. It's a house of cards. It's smoke and mirrors. It's designed to screw up. They've got secret code. It's not open source. Open source means anybody can go in and look at the programming. And I don't know much about computer programming, but I know enough to know that a computer programmer, he can tell by reading the code whether or not there's backdoors or viruses or things inserted into your computer operating program. And on Linux, there's all kinds of eyeballs looking at it, and they know it's clean. And I've used Linux for well over 10 years now, and it's got some bugs in it, and sometimes it's hard to find technical expertise to help you through the problems. But in the long run, I am much, much more comfortable. I'm not really worried about the problems that you just mentioned here, Dan, because I'm pretty comfortable in my Linux environment, and I would encourage you and others to think real seriously about doing a transition over to the Linux operating system on your computer. Pretty easy to install, and getting away from the Bill Gates evil empire Microsoft system of running your computer. How you?
Well, that's good information. I've been playing with Linux for almost 3 years now. The only reason I did not switch over to Linux was because Linux did not support multiple monitor use back when I first looked into it. It was also not supporting the radio broadcasting software that I had to use with Eurofolk Radio. So I was stuck with Windows. I believe now, the last time I checked, and you might check with your friend, if you would for me, to see if Linux has upgraded their system to support multiple monitor use. I believe they have, but I would like him to reassure me that that is where Linux is at. Linux with the Mint, if you get Linux Mint, there's a lot of distributions. Distros, they call it. Distros is short, but distributions. And Cinnamon or Mint Cinnamon is one of the most popular because it mimics Windows. And so for the Windows users, if they go to Linux Mint, the Cinnamon distro of that Mint program, it is a lot like Windows. And so you get all the benefits of the Linux operating system, but you have the ease of the window on your computer looking very much like the Microsoft Windows. And I've used Mint before, and it was pretty good, as long as the core things you're trying to do are supported by Linux. Now, if you're just doing searches on the internet, you're using basic things like Excel spreadsheet and Microsoft Word and a PDF editor and things like that, Linux supports all of that. And it's really great. It's only when you get into the software like Eurofolk Radio was using and stuff where very few people have it, or like, I'm trying to think of the bit, oh my God, can't think of it. The software I use for VoiceMeter, that's it, VoiceMeter, which is a virtual soundboard for us broadcasters. Some of that software a couple years ago was not supported, whereas today I think it is supported. So I agree with you. Switching over to Linux, I'm looking into it right now, as a matter of fact. And I've downloaded the ISO file, but the strangest thing happened when I tried to take the ISO file and make a bootable stick with it. It ruined three of my sticks, my stick memories, USB stick memories. It ruined them. They did not work, and I could not format them, and I could not use them again. And I'm not sure if I got a bogus ISO file or the program that I downloaded to convert it to make it a bootable disk. I've done it before, and it worked great, and now it's just not working. So any help that your friend has that could help me in that regard, I'd appreciate it. I yield.
Thank you, Dan. My friend is actually running Microsoft right now, and he's probably less skilled in these areas than I am. So I'm, with all due respect, I'm not going to be approaching him about these type. Well, I might mention it to him just for background, but I don't expect him to have answers to these kind of issues. But I've got some answers for you. Number one, I'm running a laptop with an external monitor on it right now. It's up above my laptop. I've got one screen above the other. And so I'm quite confident that multiple monitors work just fine in most Linux distribution packages. I believe your preferred program or package there named Mint is based upon the basic research of the community known as Debian. I'm currently of a philosophy that a more cutting edge advanced system is called Arch Linux. They've got a large repository of open source software that can be plugged in. I built Mint is built on top of Debian. Debian's a broad-based package, and Mint is just one distribution with some particular bells and whistles. And it is very popular, no doubt. But similarly, as Mint relates to Debian, the package I use is called Manjaro, and it's built on top of the Arch Linux repository. And I've been working with Manjaro and Arch Linux now for at least 4 or 5 years, and I'm quite comfortable in it. And a big plus is that It's immune, basically. Well, all Linux is pretty much immune from viruses. So I'm optimistic. I guess we shouldn't probably turn this whole discussion into a computer program. But, it's important, I think, that people at least think about these things. And once we get good computer technical help, it'll be real easy to bring people up to speed and convert over to Linux real quickly. But right now we're all on a shoestring and we don't have any skilled people in the Linux area, tech support crew, that can help us when we get in bottlenecks. And that's such a big issue that I'm still kind of hesitant to really kind of pressure anybody to start converting immediately from Microsoft. I yield.
Yep. Well, we'll just put the word out that, you know, some of us have used it, and the more people that switch over, they'll find that their system works better. It's more stable. Their time that it takes from the time you turn it on to where you can use your computer is much shorter, because Linux doesn't have all the fluff in it. And like you said, there, it's immune to viruses. It's almost like, what was the competitor to Microsoft that came out? Oh, Apple. I couldn't think of it. Apple. Apple computers are that way too. My brother used nothing but Apple for years and years, and that's why, because they were immune to viruses and they were very stable, whereas Microsoft, especially in the beginning, was extremely unstable. Ella says here, she goes, I love this computer information. Keep it up. I don't know if she's being facetious or she actually enjoys it. Most people find it boring as hell. And I understand that. I grew up with computers. I did a little programming of computers in the early days back in the 70s when I was in college. We started learning Fortran 4 and Watt 5. Basic programming for doing physics calculations and chemistry calculations. That was very early when the only computers were at the colleges. Nobody had them at work and nobody had them at home. As I got older and computers started showing up at work, the job paid for me to be trained, and so I learned a lot at the workplace, and then I carried that same knowledge back to the home base for computers. So most of my adult life I've been growing up with these things, so I know a little bit about them, but they still can be quite frustrating when they don't quite do what you want them to do. That's when it takes a real savvy tech to help you out. But the basic thing we're saying is, if people have somebody that can help them switch over to Linux, and Linux is supporting the stuff that they do on a day-to-day basis, they'll be much happier. I know quite a few people like you, Charles, that have switched over and they love it. And if I can figure out what's causing the bug on my system, trust me, I'm going to be switched over to it here as fast as I can. So, but anyway, we just want to help people out. Life is a bitch for everybody lately with all the crap going on. So if we can make their computing experience a little easier, we certainly would try to do that. But in the meantime, everybody is talking about the fact we got to get back to basics. We got to learn how to grow food. We got to keep at least, at the very minimum, a month's worth of material at your house, cash, food, water, shelter, weapons, ammunition. A lot of my neighbors here are going out and buying weapons for the first time in their life, because they can kind of sense where things are going. Plus, down here anyway, there's some very rough-looking characters that are migrating into the area, and as all these aliens are flying across the border, they're shipping them out all over the country. So you're going to see the numbers of gang members and people that look like they belong to gangs, and et cetera. You're going to see those numbers increasing. So they're setting the stage for all this. the good news is the good guys see it, and they're preparing. And so, just like the book of Obadiah says, when it triggers off, it's going to go hot, and it's going to go hot very fast, and it's going to burn very deep. So we just have to be prepared for it. I guess Ella was serious. She does like hearing about this computer stuff, so that's good. Okay. She's asking Jeremiah a health question there, too. Yeah, that's the other thing, is your health. You've got to keep your health up, folks. It's paramount that you do it now. Do as much as you can do for yourself at home by proper eating, exercise, sunshine, fresh air. Do all those things, and also be very, very particular about what you're putting in your pantry as far as food. My neighbor just gave me an article that I think it said 60% of the food in America has additives in it that are harmful to us. 60%. And that's possibly below what it actually is, but 60% of the food has additives, preservatives, enhancers, whatever, that are actually harmful to people, and yet they're putting it in there. So all the more reason we got to get back on family farms and start doing things ourselves. And some people, too, I've done it. I learned to reload ammunition. It was not hard to do. It takes a little bit of practice. You just have to be very careful. You can't be lackadaisical. You're handling gunpowder. But other than that, reloading ammunition was a lot of fun. It wasn't hard to do, and it gives you a lot of a sense of pride, so to speak, that you can manufacture it with any way you want, with the amount of powder you want, the bullets on it you want. You can set them up for power, for accuracy, whatever. And the best part of all is when you reload them, you have reduced the price down to 1/3, especially for some of these expensive cartridges like 44 Magnum and all that. I could reload my 44 Magnum ammunition for 1/3 the price of what I'd have to pay in a store for it. So the cost savings was tremendous. The only thing about that you do have to be careful with is you need to have a source of brass, or when you go shooting, you need to pick up your brass. And brass is what we call the spent cartridge that comes out of your pistol or your rifle or whatever. You just don't leave it on the ground. You go shake the dirt off of it and put it in a bag and take it home and clean it and reuse it. Some brass you can reuse 20, 30, 40 times if you're careful about how you load them up. That's some more things that we can do to be self-sufficient and be better prepared. I see Henry's with us now. Welcome, Henry.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Shitty.
Oh, ouch.
All
right. Anything we can do to help?
Nah, I'm all right.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it's these are rough times. I'm on the phone with people going through depression and anxiety and different things like that almost every day. So we just got to hang tough, and like Christ told us, be overcomers. There is an end to this nonsense, and there are signs that a lot of people are starting to figure out that it's very serious, and we're late in the game. But that's also helping to wake people up faster. And again, the average person you go out and see in the malls or at the gas station or whatever, I'm not talking about them. They're zombies, and they'll probably be zombies to the bitter end. I'm talking about in circles of patriots and farmers and veterans and different groups like that. They're starting to figure it out. Floor is open. Anybody have anything? What's the weather like up there, Henry?
Cold.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're having a cold snap down here. It's going to go all the way down to 57 tonight.
Oh.
I had to throw that in there. Some of our folks are up in the tundra of the north, and this is my neighbor says it all the time. He goes, Dan, this is why we live in South Florida for this weather at this time of year. During the summer, not so nice, but during the winter months, it's very nice, drier and cooler, but not so cold that we have to worry about ice and snow. So that's and we can grow things. That's the other cool thing. You can go for a motorcycle ride, a bicycle ride, and you can grow things almost year round. So it's kind of cool. Any other issues? Anything else anybody's got to bring to the table here? Have you heard?
But one thing to take note of is in about 7 more days, it will be the true New Year, roughly.
Right. Somewhere around the 20th to the 22nd is the equinox. Is that what you're talking about? You there?
I'm not. Yeah, I have to mute and unmute. I'm driving right now, so I'm not that fast on the phone.
Oh.
No, I'm not. I'm not paying attention to the equinox. It doesn't tell me when the equinox is, but at least the app I use is saying that the true New Year lands on the next new moon, which is for us would be March 20th, but according to the real calendar, that would be day one of the true New Year.
Right. That's the way our ancestors did it. They used, everybody could tell, if you put two sticks in the ground east to west and watch for when the two shadows meet equally, it'll tell you when you're at the equinox. If my memory serves me correct, all I know is it's fairly easy for like the Levites or somebody chief in the villages where we used to live, and they would keep track of that sort of thing, and they could tell when the day and night was equal, and that was the signal that it was time on the new moon to start counting the 7-day weeks again. And also, guess what? Passover is, I think, 14 days after that. And then also it's the time of the planting because it marks the changing of the seasons, going from the winter months into the spring months where you're going to do your planting. So it's all agricultural based. And, you know, our ancestors used to follow that because if you think about it, even September, the word sept is 7. All right. So when was it the 7th month? It's not the 7th month now. Same thing with October. Oct is 8. November is the root for 9. December, Des, is 10. So, you know, it wasn't all that long ago. Our months were more in alignment with a year that started sometime around March than it is what we do today. So, again, you know, it just points to the fact that they've lied to us. They have twisted even the calendar and everything that we think we know to be a fact has been proven to be wrong. They've changed it, and they didn't change it for our benefit. They changed it to our detriment, hiding the fact that the Israelites were all over this earth. I'm reading my second book that talks about South America, Central America, and North America has evidence all over them of the Israelites, and the customs of the Old Testament were followed by the people of Peru and Mexico and all those those places. Now, the people that are there today aren't necessarily Israelites, but we're going back 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, when our people first came over here and started cutting the trees down and taking them back to the Mediterranean area and mining brass and copper and tin and gold and silver and taking them back over to the Mediterranean. That was thousands of years ago, and archaeologists have documented this very well. So again, they hide everything, so we'll buy into this Roman, as Charles calls it, this Roman civil law system that is for the benefit of the corporations and the merchants and the bankers. It's not for us, which, amazingly, fits right in with what Revelation says, that when the time of the burning down of Babylon comes, it's the merchants and the mercantile fleets that are going to be doing the weeping and wailing. It's not going to be the average person, because their system is going to be exposed and burnt to the ground. I yield.
Thank you, Dan. If I might, since nobody's competing for the microphone here, I love it that way. Where was I going? Oh, I posted a web link to Linux Mint that's available on eBay for $8, a DVD that should be bootable right to your system. You can install off of a DVD, and for $15 you can get it on a flash drive out from the same web link on eBay there, Dan. There was something. Yes, I was going to build on your rant a little bit with a rant of my own about the Babylonian whore that controls all the commerce, and the merchants will have great gnashing of teeth as the whole system comes down. I'm seeing that we are getting really close to an event very similar to that, because I know from my own personal research with constitutional law and common law and general conspiracy theory and biblical Torah law, that the present governmental structure is a house of cards. It's a legal fiction. There's 100 different areas where it's weak and it's fragile, and if we target some of our own serious energies in any one of a number of probably over 100 vulnerability points, we can cause the whole system to come collapsing down like a house of cards. It'll take coordinated effort, of course, and I visualize that through things like what we're doing with the coronavirus criminal complaint here, we need to be in position to move to take control of the reins of power and control over the machinery of government, the coercive force of the government. We need to be in position to bring it over to the control of our county sheriffs and our town constables, as was the original plan under the Exodus 18 model of government. So I'm real optimistic that even though things are looking wild and insane and crazy right now, that we're just a few baby steps away from getting our act together to be able to create a replacement system. It's going to bring about a transition with all, close to zero trauma to all good people, and the only people that will be having problems are the people like what are described in Revelation as the merchants. They're not going to be able to be parasites off of the common people anymore, because God's kingdom's coming, and like Jesus said, the meek and the poor shall inherit the earth. And it's time to put an end to that system of exploitation that is largely controlled by the Pharisees, Jews, and their system of commerce. along the course with the Roman Empire. Anyway, I'm looking forward to some changes, and I think they're going to happen soon. And I think it's going to be largely peaceable. I think it can be engineered without a whole lot of potential for violence. There probably will be some, but I think we can keep the potential for violence to a minimum, and it can all go fairly smoothly. I yield.
Well, we certainly pray for that it would be a nonviolent revolution, changeover. Ellis got in here. What do you think is the best first step that we need to take? I'm not sure if she's addressed that to just the group as a whole or somebody in particular, but do you have an answer for that, Charles? What do you think is the... Oh, for Charles, okay. What do you think is the best first step that we need to take?
Well, thank you, Ella, and thank you, Dan. Stay tuned to conferences like this, because we're still getting our legs under us. I've just put the finishing touches on our coronavirus militarism complaint, and we're going to need 12 responsible adults to be signatory. We need a 12-person jury, and I'm inclined to believe that we should go ahead and take advantage of the modern interpretation of a jury, which includes women. In the older biblical text, it was all men. But I think we can take advantage of current environments and include the women herein. And so people like Ella, if after you look at the documents that we're going to be distributing here, if you're ready to stand up and speak out and declare that things like this whole coronavirus emergency alarm, it's all a big fraud, and forcible vaccinations, anybody that engages in that, that's a government agent, they can be resisted with deadly force, because they are implementing unlawful deadly force against us. And so, yeah, just be prepared to sign on to jury verdicts that common law courts need to be perpetrating in order to bring about the conditions for the shift. And also join local self-governing communities. Try to look at your figure out who the movers and players are in your county, and try to figure out which precinct you're in, because those are geographical boundary lines that the de factos recognize as having lawful authority as a precinct. And under our constitutional system, that is the sovereignty, is the geographical boundary lines of your precincts. So, yeah, those are a few things that just off of my hip would be really good to try to have clear in your mind that's on your priority list. And yeah, I yield.
Well, it's a good first step, but I've also told people that, you know, it starts in your home. It starts with you as an individual. Are you doing everything you can make yourself into a good ambassador for Yeshua, but at the same time, a good soldier in our fight? Have you reached out to other people? Is your home basically a bunker at this point? Even though obviously it's not a bunker in the sense it's bulletproof and bombproof, but a bunker as far as a centralized point where you can hunker down and feed yourself, and you have water and supplies to where you can stay isolated from this riffraff. For at least, I tell people minimum of 3 months. And I'm going on what military people have told me for years, okay? Guys that have actually been in insurrections in other countries, other continents, where society's just completely broken down. They've actually been part of that in a combat situation. So I figure their advice is the best advice, and that's what they say. If you provide for yourself and think of yourself as a a forward operating post in a battle, in a war, and you can stay in your bunker, so to speak, and assist maybe some neighbors and whatnot. If you can do that for 3 months, he said you have a very good chance of surviving. If you could do it for 6 months, he said, I could almost guarantee you're going to survive. Unless, of course, you're, like I said, you never know from day to day if you might have some, like, gang or whatever violence come to your particular home. But the odds are against that, believe it or not. Gang members and mobs typically are cowards, and they're very usually not very smart. So they're going to go for easy targets. If they come up against a bunker that's camouflaged and heavily guarded and possibly booby-trapped, then they're going to avoid it for easier targets 99% of the time. So that's what he meant by that. If you can just stay out of the streets and stay out of the normies, the zombies, because they're going to go crazy, just like today. I mean, look at them. They're crazy. Most of the people that are in the Patriot community and the non-jabbers that I know don't want to be out there amongst them. So in a way, we're kind of evolving that way anyway. I don't go to the places I used to go and hang out. I don't go to the beaches or the bars very often. I used to go to them for karaoke or just meet my friends for a drink and have some good laughs or whatnot. Don't do that anymore because I don't want to be around the zombies. And it's not because I'm afraid of shedding. I just don't want to be around stupid people. I really don't. I have an aversion to stupid people. I have an aversion to people with no class, with no concept of what in the hell's going on in the world, no sense of worth, no sense of pride. I don't want to be around people like that anymore. You could tolerate them a little bit years ago, but now I have no tolerance. And most of the people I talk to are in the exact same boat. They're losing their patience with the zombified masses out here. So I guess maybe the Father's doing that as a gentle way to get us to do what we were supposed to do on our own anyway. He told us you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And a lot of us didn't take him too serious on that. So he's sort of like pushing us in that direction so that we're spiritually isolating ourselves away from very possibly the people that won't be here much longer, either because of their own stupidity and doing things that are harmful or because of violence. I mean, who knows? But, yeah, all good points, good points. The floor is open. I see. I don't think Ralph has a mic or anything, so he usually just texts. I didn't see if he put anything in here. Ralph forgot about the time change. Go ahead, Kumri.
Yeah, what I'll add is a lot of people think, or at least people that I've talked to think that they have to store a bunch of food, or they're going to starve. And I explained to them, not really. 30 meals will feed you for a month. All you have to do is just eat one meal a day. No one's ever died eating one meal a day. 180 meals will get you 6 months. All you have to do is not try to think you got to eat three times a day. And it's very easy to survive going 6 months staying outside of or staying indoors.
Right. Good point. I try to remind people that what we're talking about is emergency situations. So you're not going to gorge yourself eating continually all day long like some people do today. You're also not going to try to stuff yourself and think that you're at a Ritz-Carlton restaurant. It's called survival tactics for a reason. And so, like you said, you make a one meal a day, X number of calories. You try to get all the nutrients you need into that one meal. It's actually going to be beneficial. I've done it several times in my life. In fact, I'm doing it right now, and I've been doing it for years. I only eat one meal now, and that's because that's all I need. I'm satisfied with that. And I feel better, and my weight goes to where it's supposed to go, and I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to count calories. I don't even think about it. So, again, we overindulged ourselves during the time of Babylon with her delicacies. That's what the Book of Revelation calls it. We were drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. Excessive amounts of cash readily available, called credit cards and credit, easy money. It was all fictitious, but it was easy, so we went along with it. Houses bigger than we need, cars that we don't really need, bigger cars than we need, toys that we don't use, clothes that we don't need, and excessive amounts of food and delicacies in the food line. And so now, it's like the Father says, all right, now it's time to grow up and get a little more sensible about things. You've overindulged, and so you're like an alcoholic or a drug addict. You're addicted to all these delicacies that Babylon has used to seduce you. And now it's time to realize that that's what's happened, and we need to back off of that a little bit. And the good news is that even though at first it seems rough, but if you do that, you start shedding some of that excess material, you find that you have less to worry about, less to take care of, less to clean, less to keep maintenance on, worry about, et cetera, et cetera. So as with all things with the Father, there comes a blessing if we just pay attention and do things His way rather than what we think is the right way to go, which 9 times out of 10, it's not the right way to go. So, okay, I yield. Floor is open. Anybody got anything? I hear clicking of keys. Is that you, Jennifer?
No, I was just thinking, you know, I bought a 1 month supply of the Patriot Power Supply or whatever, you know, Food Patriot, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled it out and I looked at it, and it's so full of monosodium glutamate and all kinds of garbage. I just, you know, it's like not everything is, but it's really bad. It's not even good. And you get these clickbaits all the time when you're watching YouTube by them. So I don't know. I might invest in that Heaven's Harvest instead, because a lot of them you just only have to add water, but they just don't look that great. But I pretty much only eat 1.5 meals a day, and I have to because I work out every other day and I lift weights and stuff like that now, and getting stronger. I ride the bike and get on the treadmill. I went 6 miles on the bike today, and I increased the tension while I was riding. So I'm trying to get stronger and stronger. And there's a lot of people around here that they don't know what's going on, really. One person that works out at the gym, he does know, but he lives in Alamosa. No, not Alamosa. I'm sorry, Amarillo. But his father lives here, so he comes home to help his parents every other week. And so we usually talk about all this nonsense that's going on and an anti-vaxxer. And then another lady that goes there, she takes care of the lady that lives next door to me. And that lady's been vaccinated twice with 2 boosters and a flu shot. And the lady that's taking care of her, her mother and her are both anti-vaxxers, and she's taking care of her. And I'm like, I don't want to, I'm probably going to have to, you know, I made some EDTA cream. I may have to give some to her that I made. So It's just, you know, because if you're going to spend 3 hours every day in a closed area with somebody that's had that many vaccines, you're bound to get shed on. But I don't really want to be around anybody that's been vaccinated at all. But, you know, we just don't know who has and who hasn't. But, yeah, it's going to be hard. But she, that lady said that she works for a company called We Care out of Las Vegas. And they pay pretty good. And they didn't ask, they didn't tell, they had nobody, they didn't tell anybody they needed to get vaccinated. I worked out with her today and she said, oh, no, they don't care. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I could find somebody to take care of it for a couple hours a day, and instead of driving all the way to this terrible school system that we have down the road, that Maxwell Schools is teaching critical race theory and social and emotional learning. And I'm like looking at all these videos on that stuff, and I'm like, this is crazy stuff, you know? I mean, New Mexico wants to be the model to deliver critical race theory, and we only have, what, 2-3% blacks in the whole state. And the Hispanics and the whites get along fine here. And so now, you know, our governor is a communist, and she wants to push this stuff on everybody. So.
Well, you know why that is, right?
Well, she's getting funded.
Exactly. The government is giving them money. It's the same thing with this COVID lie. Why are the doctors and hospitals and medical people going along with it? Because it's tied to money. Just like the Bible says, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So the school systems, if somebody will give them money, they'll teach them anything. They'll teach them transsexualism. They'll teach them homosexuality. They'll teach them about aliens. They'll teach them whatever. Whoever's giving right. them buckets full of money, no different than the seminaries. Why are the seminaries teaching the hogwash to the guys that are going to end up being preachers? Because there's big donators that are putting millions of dollars in donations to these things, and so they've got a say.
Mm-hmm.
Our people have become prostitutes. I mean, really, that's what they are. The average person is nothing more than a prostitute.
But by and large, at Springer schools, they don't ever bring their laptops home with them. They did during the fake pandemic, but now we had a day and a half of snow day or something like that, and they did end up having to bring, but not all of the kids did, you know, because while they're on those computers, they're being programmed with social and emotional learning, which, you know, the people that created the software, you know, for these math games that they do, and then when they succeed and they go to a higher level in math, then they get a bonus, you know, like, you know, give a dog a bone, right? You know, you did great, so, you know, you can play a game now. And then, you know, it's all about finding out, you know, where these kids are going to fit in later on. It's just that social emotional learning. It's like Mike Gaddy and Aman, I don't remember, Aman Jabi, you know, have been doing a lot of stuff on that. I mean, Aman Jabi, you know, I sent Aman Jabi's video about social and emotional learning to the superintendent here, but he didn't respond. So it's just crazy. I mean, I worked in the schools. I was a DWI preventionist. We did, you know, we did rhyme raps and cheers, and you know, we played hot potato. I don't remember what it was, what they had. I don't remember what I used, but it was about getting rid of the tobacco. It was a fake cigarette that we made, and you know, until the last person, you know. So and all of the stuff had all the chemicals, the high school kids. I did it across the curriculum. The high school kids ended up, you know, drawing all the bad stuff that's in tobacco on their fake cigarettes and stuff. It was really a good across campus thing, and I worked for like 3 different counties doing DWI prevention and then taught PE, and you know, and then I fractured my pelvis, so I couldn't go back to work anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when I started. I went to TRC for 3 months and started reading the Bible. I got to the one Chuck Baldwin wanted everybody to get, and so I just like, oh, you know, I guess God has something for me to be thinking about. It was good, though. It's good, you know. I read the Bible, or I listen to a guy in the morning, L.B. Cornerstone, and I listen to Chuck Baldwin, and then a guy named Louis Renke. He's in South Africa. He's really good, too. So, anyway. And then there's Pastor Dan, too.
Well, thank you. Oh, Lordy.
Is Melissa on?
No.
Oh, she's in Ohio.
Yeah, I think she's busy. And a few other folks were busy, too. That's why I'm recording it, because some of our folks listen to it as a recording later on. It's exciting times. It's like Pastor Pete Peters used to say, everything is going wrong just right. And so, Yahweh is introducing me to some really interesting folks here lately. People who are extremely well connected. I mean, these guys have walked the walk. And they've got connections into a lot of areas. And just recently, they've sort of come into my sphere, and we're emailing and talking back and forth and sharing information and all. And it's really exciting, because he's got a team forming. I know Q called them digital warriors, and I don't like to grab too much that came out of Q, but that was one of the things that was in the Q boards that I thought was appropriate, digital warriors. In a way, that's right. What we are, digital warriors, trying to get truth out and take advantage of this technology while we have it. We may not have it much longer. We don't know. Right. But then again, yeah. I hear that there are people working on alternatives, so that if this internet goes down, that doesn't mean a parallel one can't be formed.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, this one was created by the DARPA, probably as a net to capture by the communists so they could capture patriots. But Yahweh can turn anything that the enemy does and turn it around back on their heads. So this technology could be used by good guys to create a system that's even more efficient and faster and cheaper and better. That the patriots and the believers could use outside of their system. So, you know, that, we don't know. Just like I had no idea back in the 70s and 80s, I had no idea of what an internet would be. You know, we think of it now, you know, and it's like second nature. It's like, well, there's always been an internet, but no, there was a lot of my life, there was no such thing as an internet. I couldn't have even thought of a thing called the internet when I was a young man. Even a personal computer was beyond my imagination. So, you know, and now we take them for granted and they're a part of everyday life. But I remember as a young man, even in the military, we didn't have computers. In fact, we didn't. LCDs had not even been invented yet when I was first in the military. The liquid crystal display that everything runs on now, that wasn't even invented yet. Everything was analog.
Have you checked Doc Pete Chambers' website?
No.
Oh, you would. I forward some stuff to you on Telegram from him. It should say his name. He's ex-military. Well, after he had one shot, he had to get out, and he's going to Washington. I don't know. He's trying to help with the cause, I guess, and he's selling stuff, you know, to help detox people off of the shot. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got something bulldog something.
I'll check them out. I'll check them out again. My Telegram has gotten so big, it takes me almost an hour just to go through all of the stuff that, because of all the different platforms and people that I've got on my Telegram now, and they just keep posting. Some of these guys are like 200 items. Every morning when I open it up, it's got 200 items. I mean, just on one platform.
Sons of Liberty.
Well, Sons of Liberty is one of them, right. But there's other ones like European Identity and National Socialists in Australia, all of them. But many of them will put up 200, 300, 400 posts in a 24-hour period. It's too much stuff to even look at all of it. So it's, you know, I can't see it all. I try to go down and pick out highlights and speed read through as much as I can. Kumri's got his hand up, so let's find out what he's got. Kumri, go ahead. You're driving, I understand, but you gotta be a little faster than that.
I'm not driving anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm not driving anymore. No, one thing I wanted to add is you're bringing up the internet, and maybe I'm wrong, but I could swear, when I was young, like we're talking like 8 years old, it was free to go online. Anyone could just go online as long as you had a computer that was connected to a landline or something. You didn't have to pay for internet. Now it's impossible to get internet unless it's paid for.
I don't remember that in my recollection when you were young. I remember it was a pain in the ass because we had a phone dial up was in the beginning. It was over the phone lines, and then there was the DSL came out, and that was a lot faster, but it compared to today, it was like terribly slow. But as far as I know, all of those services, came at a cost. You had to have something installed. But I might be wrong. I might be wrong. The very first ones like DSL and all that, as long as you could get on your phone line, it might have been possible to get into the net. But you couldn't do much. Everything was so slow. Your internet interface was so slow. The computers were not anywhere near what they are today. Probably about the biggest thing we did was email. Email was the biggest use of it. You could do some internet stuff with it, but it was, again, very slow, very limited. It wasn't until they started providing it by cable, and they called it broadband through the cable. And when that happened, you did have to pay for it, that for sure, when it was cable. But you're right. When it was DSL and over the phone and all that, it might not have been a pay thing then. But then again, it had been hard to make people pay for something that was so damn slow. Very difficult to use, too. So it has progressed. I mean, we've watched our world change quite a bit. You know, when I was a boy, we used to read the Dick Tracy things in the comics. And we always laughed about the watches that had the images on it, and you could speak to somebody and take a look around you. It's all real now. All that Dick Tracy and Star Trek stuff that we laughed our asses off saying that's crazy, and yeah, we're living it. So you got to be careful. Don't ever say never, because I remember years ago making fun of people at work, and we were talking about water. And I remember saying to him, I said, you know, one day they're going to make us pay for drinking water. And everybody in the room just laughed. They said, why in the hell would you pay for water? It's everywhere. And look at it now. You buy filters to filter the water, or you buy bottled water, and now nobody even thinks about it. They just pay for the water. And yet I remember in my 20s when we said that, and everybody just laughed. Why would you pay for water? And same thing with the race mixing thing. I used to be really down on that back long time ago, and everybody laughed at me. Oh, it's never going to be a problem, Dan. It's so small, and what are you worried about, et cetera, et cetera. Now look at it. You can't turn – I don't watch television, but my neighbors, if I go over there and there's TV, every commercial, just about every commercial, is race mixed couples – particularly black men with white women. It's being pushed everywhere, okay? And everybody thought I was crazy when I first started saying, you know, you can see where this is going. Oh, Dan, you're paranoid. Oh, Dan, stop worrying about it. You know, you'll be dead before it's all any of this stuff comes to pass. Well, guess what? I'm still alive, and it's here, and it's in my face every day. So the same thing with all this other stuff. If you can read the tea leaves, you can tell where this is all going. It's not that hard. It's not like you got to be a prophet with 20 years in a school somewhere to learn how to do this stuff. Just look at the tea leaves. A little bit of time in prayer with the Father and looking at the tea leaves, and you can pretty much tell what the hell's going on. So, okay.
I was driving back about 4 months ago. I was coming back from Las Vegas on I-25, and there was a big sign of a black guy, are you ready for Omicron? I'm like, here, probably nobody in New Mexico will look at that sign because we don't have blacks here. This is like, I mean, I think we have one African-American kid at the school, and that's it. I mean, the percentage here is, well, I'm in northern New Mexico, and it's mostly all ranchers, so it's, you know, a lot of white people from Texas moved here. It's like an extension of Texas, except for it's not like Texas, like, is a republic more so than us. I mean, we're definitely a communist state. So it wasn't like that under Gary Johnson, but then he went off the deep.
Yeah, we haven't elected anybody since they went to computerized voting. So you know, the idea that you're going to vote your way out of this nonsense is just ludicrous. Yeah, you're smoking peyote or something. If you think that voting or a politician, that you get the certain politician elected, it's going to fix the problem. No, they're all part of it. Every one of them is part of it.
Do you know who Bill Richardson is?
I've heard the name. I can't remember who he is.
He was our governor, and he frequented or he was the owner of the mansion that Jeffrey Epstein had here before Jeffrey Epstein. This is how sick it gets around here.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Epstein had a mansion in New Mexico. And then we have Ted Turner owning a bunch of land it's really close. It's in this county. It's right by the Philmont Boy Scout Ranch. And he has hunting trips there, and people, you know, stay there and cost $10,000 for several days, right? And the fire, amazingly enough, that came into Colfax County didn't get into his area. So maybe they haven't been spraying chemtrails over his area. I don't know. So, we only just got smoke. We got a lot of smoke here, but Yeah, that was a planned fire that we had, control burn on a windy day. About, I don't know, 500 people lost their homes. But in New Mexico, it's not hard to find another one. There's a lot of vacant homes, and a lot of people own a couple properties because they're long-term, you know, their ancestors have been here, you know. So, you know, they just keep handing down the homes. And so, you know, eventually people were fine. I mean, they was very resilient here. But if it happens again, we're not going to be so lucky. But I know that, it was just kind of like the Ohio train wreck. They're going to try to move people out of the areas that they want them in, you know, stack and pack housing. Like for us, it'll be, they'd want us in Albuquerque. But, and my friend sent me a thing on, where all the, you know, the towers were, how to find out. Well, we only have two towers here, and one's 3G and one's 4G. But, and we only have 700 people living here. And then in Angel Fire, there are 31 towers, and the population's like 1,500 people. 31 towers, which is absolutely ridiculous. And my friend Susan ended up, her thyroid got damaged, and she got real hyper from living there, you know, hyperthyroid, and lost a lot of weight because, I don't know, the 5G tower was like less than a mile from their house. She's been in and out of the hospital and all kinds of stuff. And I keep sending her, I said, you need to move here because we don't have that much of that here. But, you know, she can't really get out of the rental agreement she's in right now. So, anyway, what can you do?
Well, you just take one day at a time, just like he told us. That's all we can do. So, a lot of this stuff is fear porn. And remember, we talked about that a long time ago, especially on the radio. The whole job of the mainstream media is to promote fear in any way possible. Keep you afraid of viruses, of races, of foreign invasion, and now it's even outer space and meteors. I mean, I got news for you. Nothing's coming through the firmament, all right? So, but if you look at it that way, everything they're doing is to create fear so that you will accept what it is that they want to do. That's it in a nutshell. Because they know that when you make somebody afraid, they will go along with whatever program you present as long as you take the fear away, as long as you address their fears. They learned that a long time ago, and they've been using it against us ever since. So the answer to it is, of course, you do just like Christ said. If you've got faith in the Father and faith in your family and friends and neighbors, if you have faith in all those things, then you don't care. Just like here, I you know, people say, well, what if they come to your door? Well, let them come. I'm not losing one night's sleep over worrying about what the enemy's doing. You know, they could come and it could kill you or do something to you or take you away. Yeah, that's true. They could. Yeah, they could. Lots of things could happen. I could walk outside my door and find a suitcase with $2 million in it. That's possible, but is it going to happen? Probably not. Probably not. And I'm not going to lose any sleep on what these scoundrels are going to do because they got plenty of volunteers. There's plenty of stupid people out here that will voluntarily do what they want them to do. So, you know, I just don't want to live in a state of fear. I'm positive. I plan on winning this thing. I believe I was sent here to be part of winning this thing. And that's what I'm going to do as long as I draw breath. I am working to defeat this enemy and to bring the kingdom of the Father on this earth. That's my goal. That's what I live for every single day of my life. So, All right. We got an hour and a half into it. I think that's enough unless anybody's got anything more they want to add. Floor is open if you got any final issues you want to bring up, folks. Anybody?
You host a great show, Dan. I love it here.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you. It's the company. You know, like I used to say, it's teamwork. It's a good team. I've been blessed to be part of some really good football and baseball teams and scholarly teams and work teams, and now I'm part of this team here, and it's fun to be around people that got their heads screwed on right, and they've got some integrity and some backbone. It's amazing what we can accomplish with those kind of qualities. So, all right, I'm going to close this with a little short prayer, and then we can finish out our evenings. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We just again pray that you would reach down and touch the hearts of your children wherever they may be found. These are perilous times. We're witnessing terrible, terrible things around us, but you watch over your children as you promised you would. So even though we witness these things, as it says in Psalm 91, we will see it to our left and right by the thousands, and yet it won't come into our tent. And that's what I put my faith in, and I'm praying that everybody here does as well. And we can trust you, Father, to watch over us as long as we stay true to you and true to each other and do your work on this earth. We'll take it at your word that you're going to be our guide, our king, and our savior. And we're just going to press forward until we have victory. And be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy kingdom and for thy glory. And protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.